If you guys could come on in and take your seats, we'll go ahead and we'll kick off the second half of Having a Healthy Body. Then we'll take another, we're going to take, what we're trying to do here, I know we got started about 15 minutes late, is we're trying to do a little under an hour, break for about 10 minutes for biological necessities and discussion, because the worst thing you can do is go to one of these workshops and it is death by PowerPoint, just, you know, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
In fact, what
Amen.
You need to do is internalize and verbalize. Yes, an engineer made that up himself. Okay, we need to stop and actually talk about what we're hearing and talk about decisions we want to make. Because these, you know, a lot of what we're talking about here, some of it's familiar, some of it's not. But what we're trying to do is basically take this into our lives and be transformed to the glory of God.
Good? Is this close enough? Okay, so how was that break? Was that helpful? Did you guys get to be able, you were able to share kind of what you're feeling about your nutrition and your body? Good. Excellent. Oh, water over there. Thank you. Oh, real quick. So we have a little workbook that we printed up for Johannesburg, and we have a few copies left here. They are 15 Rand?
Yeah, it's 15 Rand. It just covers
the cost. Yeah. So if you would like some, so I already have one sister that's already said, please reserve one for me. You want one? Okay, 20, 20, 25, do I hear 30? 30, do I hear
30? Ooh, I didn't know you could do that.
Just kidding. There's still 15. Okay.
Now, Great. Here's the thing. So, they did print 250 of them in Joburg, and we only had about 100 at the workshop.
Yes.
So Werner, you and Ivor can sort this out.
Ivor might have more. This thing, it feels like it's far away. Okay. So, moving right along. And these were the questions that I thought were up on the screen while you guys were having your break. But anyway, you can continue on. All right. Moving right along, physical and emotional benefits of exercise, sleep, and fasting. So, when you are considering exercise versus nutrition, how many in here, it's kind of an unfair question at this point, but, you know, do you feel like exercise is like 50-50? Like, they're the same? What's like more important? Is exercise more important? Nutrition more important? Is it a lot more important? A little more important? Yeah. So in balance, I like that answer. That's good. This stat sticks in my head as a shocking one. Studies have shown nutrition to be 300 times more important than exercise. And that kind of makes sense. I mean, you think about it. Would you rather have a car made out of plastic or metal? Metal, unless it's like this super crazy plastic, I don't know. But like, yeah, you want a car that's made out of really good materials. And this is the thing, is we're building this temple with every piece of food we eat, every beverage we drink. And so what you're made out of is much more important than nutrition. There was a runner in the States, Jim Fix. He was very popular about 20 years ago. And he said, I can eat whatever I want and just burn it off. He had a heart attack because he ate junk and his body could not sustain him. And so what you're made out of is critical, but balance I think is super important. Thank you for being brave and raising your hand. And then sleep is critical. You know, I tend to not do great with my sleep at times, and had the kind of the change of life when I was 42, and I can be up late and, you know, I can start like cleaning my house and doing work and it's not good. So putting myself to bed is something I'm working on a lot. This scripture says in 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Amen. Paul, thank you. You know, bodily training is of some value, you know, and he talks about beating his body and making it his slave. 1 Timothy 5 says, no longer drink only water, Timothy, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. And I love that Paul was so concerned about Timothy's health. So drink wine.
Ooh, that was a nerve. You stepped on it.
What did I step on?
Oh, we heard this titular laughing about the wine.
One thing
we learned on our flight over here, this one glass of red wine has a health benefit. One glass of red wine per day.
Especially for women.
Has a health benefit. And you prefer dry to sweet, less sugar. Okay. Two glasses, depending on the individual, is going to be a break even.
My husband can drink two. I can drink one. So we are different weights.
And then three, yeah, you've blown it, and you're actually doing detrimental things to your health.
Yep. What's that?
Oh, and the size of the glass does matter.
Yes. The size does matter.
Mark's like this big.
One glass. 1 liter. No.
Yeah. Mark, come on.
Thank you. Thank you, Joan. So let's talk about sleep there. We're going to shift a little bit from wine. So yes, a glass of wine every day is fine. Oh, you can, glass of wine is fine. Okay. So going on to sleep, how much is enough? Who in here typically gets a good 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night? They're really good about it. Amen. You guys are awesome. You rock. Who does not? Oh, not good.
Bunch of sinners.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, if it's because you're getting 11 hours and you raised your hand, then not what I'm looking for. Okay. So, yeah, 7 to 9 hours. We've been tested. They've done tests on this over and over and over again. People try and cheat sleep all the time. And some people say, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. But what they've realized is that sleep device schedules impair judgments. Some say that you are like an alcoholic almost. Like on the road, your reaction time is slower, your judgment's poor, and all these things, and you just can't function as well. And then you're not getting the healing that your body needs. So there's something that happens mentally when we sleep and physically. So there's lots of detoxing going on. Different stages of sleep do different things. It's very cool science for me. But for you too, maybe, if you want to look into it. And of course, you know, if you are constantly getting sleep deprived, you can have just a depression is one of the symptoms. Cranky, and you just can feel lousy. Insufficient, poor quality sleep can result from anxiety. So you can just go to sleep and feel like your brain is continually going. Stress, you can have poor sleep from, if you're in pain, it's very hard to sleep. Illness, and low GABA. This is one of the cool neurotransmitters that I really like. I take GABA sometimes to help me sleep, and it just kind of like shuts your brain down. It's like everything's fine. You know, and it's something that every human has typically, and having that imbalance is really important. People who are low in GABA really don't get great quality sleep. And so it's a necessary neurotransmitter. You know, hormone imbalances can cause problems, blood sugar imbalances. If you find you're waking up at 2 o'clock in the middle of the night because you want a bowl of cereal, there's typically a blood sugar imbalance going on. What's happening is your blood sugar is at a good level or high when you go to sleep. And then as you are sleeping, you're kind of in this fasting state, and then you can become hypoglycemic in the middle of the night. Your adrenals kick in. They're saying, hey, your blood sugar's dropping way too much. Let's say you had too much sugar at your dinner, and then you're finding your way to the kitchen because you can't sleep. You're hungry, so you fumble in there. And then you got your blood sugar high again, and you can go back to sleep. So that's not how we were designed. If you're doing that, please get your blood sugar checked. So sleeping less than the recommended 8 hours a night is associated with intrusive, repetitive thoughts like those seen in anxiety or depression. And you can just kind of do what's looping, just thinking over and over again on this negative thought. Kind of going back to the glasses we were talking about, our hormones can really determine how we perceive the world. If you have too much testosterone, the world looks aggressive and you can always be on edge or like on the hunt. If you have too little testosterone, you can be kind of mild and meek. If you have too many glucocorticoids, you know, the world looks stressful. If your adrenals are constantly amped up, the world looks stressful. And so getting your hormones to be balanced appropriately is very beneficial. Benefits of exercise. Dr. Axe says, the benefits of exercise are far more than just losing weight or achieving that bikini body. Exercise benefits everything from your sleep quality to your energy level and even your memory, from making you happier to helping you live longer. Regular exercise is a key to living a healthy, balanced life. And this is also another area where I'm working on getting stronger. And I like exercising. I don't love it. It's really easy for me to eat well. And we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. But I do notice how much better I feel when I'm exercising regularly. It does. It just makes me, I feel more comfortable. I feel like my brain works faster, better. I do sleep better. Growth hormone, your body, when it tears down muscle, it has to rebuild muscle. And so you're creating more growth hormone. Excuse me. What were you going
to
say?
And it's not that you have to work out every day. Actually, the numbers are you're not going to achieve much more of a benefit. It becomes diminishing returns. After three good workouts a week, you've really got what you need for health. Maybe not to be a competitive bodybuilder like Bev is, but you know, you can for health reasons. I like to work out. I'll do about 20 minutes of aerobic, elliptical, and then about 30 to 40 minutes of weightlifting Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning. That leaves me an hour, like on Tuesday and Thursday, to have lunches with coworkers, non-Christians, brothers, whatever, you know, during my work week. And that really does me so much good. Losing the weight, keeping it off, blood sugars down. Because a lot of, when we talk about this blood sugar, blood pressure, you know, we're a whole one big complex interconnected system. Okay, I'm a systems engineer, and you can only do so much stepwise refinement to decompose the system because everything is affecting each other. When I'm eating right, sleeping right, exercising, staying close to God, then it's all balancing out. Blood sugar does well, blood pressure does well. And Bev has a happy husband.
Amen.
She likes it.
Yeah, I noticed a big difference. And I, you know, even blood sugar wise, when his blood sugar's higher, I notice he's more agitated because the brain is probably more inflamed. You know, all that insulin is very destructive. So just a little quote, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. And, you know, that's kind of going back to Gym Fix. And so really starting with the, you know, building blocks of eating well is so critical. And if you're on a budget, there are creative ways to eat well. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit more research and getting input from other people. But I strongly, you know, recommend do whatever you can to eat as, you know, if Jesus were in your shoes, what would he be eating?
And it comes down to, like in anything in life, we want to do our best for God. We want to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our family went through systemic Lyme disease back in Northern Virginia. And it's like you have the flu every day for a year. And we felt pretty rotten. And then start struggling because we just couldn't do much. And we're functioning at like 50% for a year, you know, while we're doing antimicrobial protocols and all sorts of things to deal with it. And we're struggling with it because we want to be doing things. We want to serve God. And yet, I'm getting up late, dragging to work, coming home, taking a nap so I can drag myself to the dinner table and rinse and repeat. And we realized we're not 100%, but we can give God 100% of the 50% that we are right now.
Amen.
Same thing with whatever you can afford for your diet. You just want to give it to God. Do the best you can with what you've got. We don't want anyone walking out of here going, wow, I just can't shop at the organic food store. Okay, you can't. But you can do the best with what you have, and that best is going to be different for different ones of us. You should just be fired up that I care about my temple. I'm going to do the best I can with what I've got for God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, honey. So some of the benefits of exercise are that boosts your happiness levels, you sleep better, you can reduce your risk of heart disease naturally instead of taking medication. You get more energy from exercise. You have increased strength and flexibility, improved memory, increased self-confidence, stronger immune system, and you live longer. And there are probably many more benefits that you guys have experienced as well. Something that I've been trying recently is called intermittent fasting. And anybody in here trying intermittent fasting? Great. I find this really beneficial. Initially, I was sharing with Joan, Joan and Mark are taking care of us. And they're doing a great job hosting us. Thank you very much.
Amen.
But she was like, you're not eating breakfast. I was like, sorry. But the reason I haven't been eating breakfast is because I just want to continue the detoxification process in the morning. I want to lose a few pounds. I'm trying to get my blood sugar in a better state. And intermittent fasting is, to me, the easiest way to do it. And you know, initially, I was a little hungry. If any of you have ever struggled with hypoglycemia, if you feel a little shaky in the morning, your blood sugar is not regulated yet, and it can very quickly get regulated. And so if you're struggling with weight or blood sugar issues, I highly recommend this. I feel like it's a very easy way to lose weight, to get your blood sugar back in check, and to start eating healthy again. Did somebody raise a hand? So somebody's wondering, what's intermittent fasting? Okay, so typically the theory of it is that you eat during an 8-hour window, and most people do that. So you skip breakfast, and then you would have maybe, you know, around noontime or 11 o'clock start eating, and you eat for 8 hours. So there's a window of 8 hours where you're eating, and then no midnight snacks, no 2 a.m. snacks, you know. So you're just eating during this 8-hour window. And so what you're doing is you're burning fat when you're getting up in the morning, especially if you exercise. So if you get up in the morning and you haven't eaten all night, you're burning fat. You're not burning the glucose from a meal that's already in your bloodstream. And that is a very efficient way to burn off fat.
And when she says you eat for 8 hours, she means you eat within the 8 hour window.
Good clarification, yes.
A brother asked that question, I thought I should clarify.
Thank you, honey, yes. So you're basically eating the same number or some, you know, whatever your daily requirement is during that 8 hour period. Because what's happening is your body is doing something called gluconeogenesis. It's awesome. I love that word. Should be like a bananagram word. But anyway, your body's basically making glucose from your fat. So this is a normal process. People do it all over the world all the time. This is how we were created. Our blood sugar was meant to be at this really nice, stable, we call it in America, it's 80 milligrams per deciliter. I don't know what your measuring is, but somewhere between 70 and 80 milligrams per deciliter is where you want your blood sugar. When you have a carbohydrate meal, your blood sugar goes whoosh, way up. And then your insulin is poured into your bloodstream, and then it drops back down below that. And then you get like cranky and hypoglycemic, and then you have something else, carbohydrate. You know, this is the American way. Oh, don't forget the caffeine, because you got to have the drug in there to help you get going. And we're not designed that way. We're meant to have like nice, gentle waves of blood sugar, not this zigzag thing, which is, you know, very common today. So benefits of intermittent fasting basically is it changes the function of the cells and genes and hormones. It helps you lose belly fat and weight, reduce insulin resistance. So it's excellent for insulin resistance too. If you're having trouble, fantastic. It lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes. It reduces oxidative stress, damaging free radicals. So those are just, you know, free radicals are things that you, you know, they can be either what's left over after you've burned off food or chemicals or things like that. So that you're reducing these things and you're getting the detox effects from the next, from that few hours in the morning. It's great for heart health, induces various cellular repair, helps prevent cancer, good for your brain, and also may prevent Alzheimer's and helps you live longer. So right now this is very popular in the US.
If I could just add one thing to the fasting. About a month or two ago, I started fasting once a week for 24 hours for spiritual reasons. Didn't think about the physical reasons. And motivation is really important when you go into a fast. There's just a good spiritual discipline in fasting. When we fast, we, even though eating is a legitimate thing that God designed our bodies for, when we choose to fast, when we choose to deny ourselves something that's good and legitimate to be received with thanksgiving for something better, in this case, it just gives me a clearer mind. I'm less attached to the world, less attached to food, clearly something that has been an issue in past years. Mm-hmm. And the irony is you're getting all these physical benefits from it as well. My blood sugar is better regulated. So I have to guard my heart actually on this one because, oh, okay, my blood sugar went up a little bit. Yeah, but I'm gonna be fasting. Well, I'm fasting for a lot of reasons. The physical one is a footnote to me. My heart and my soul needs it as a good, healthy spiritual discipline.
Yes. And you can have time in the morning, more time in the morning to have time with God instead of making breakfast. Yes. Fluids are fine, as long as they're not sugar. So again, you don't want to have like Coke first thing in the morning. So the question was, are fluids okay outside this 8 hours? Absolutely. And you want to be drinking, so just as a good ballpark, depending on the heat, your exercise level, but on average, you want to take your weight, divide it by 2, and then you want to have that many, I don't know if you don't use ounces here, right? You use liters and milliliters? Okay. I would have to look at the conversion rate for that. But basically, in America, you would use your body weight divided by 2, and that's how many ounces on average of water, you want to have a day. So if you add caffeine, then caffeine is a diuretic. So now you need to do 1.5 times to make up for what you just pulled out of your body. If you're having...
Well, let me translate.
Juice, so, same thing. Juices are diuretics because your body's going, oh my goodness, too much sugar. Your body wants to flush those out.
It worked. While my first cup of coffee, I'm making my first pour over. I have a beer glass I use for a water glass. I'm drinking that before I even hit the first cup of coffee. Because I know when we touch base around 10, 10:30 in the morning, How, you know, especially if I act jacked up, she knows I've had more than one cup, all right? So if I, my speech starts getting really fast and I'm doing all the talking.
You're still busted.
You know, this does not do good things for our marriage.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the healthier you are, you're not going to need that caffeine.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be, oh, I can't think straight. I have to have my drugs. Yes.
Very controversial question. Like I am. This is amazing. What you're teaching is amazing. But I find that some people get obsessed by healthy eating.
Mm.
And all they can think of is healthy eating. And when they come to you, visit you, it makes you uncomfortable because they don't want to eat anything. They're obsessed by what they eat, how much they eat. And it's really not what Jesus teach in the Bible.
Mm.
He say, eat what we put in front of you. So how do you protect your heart from becoming obsessed by what you eat and how much you eat? Because I'm in the medical profession as well, and I agree with all this. Most of my patients is obese and do have diabetes and do have heart illness. So I agree completely on what you're teaching. It's awesome that you're teaching us this. I definitely think I agree on everything, but there's also the other side where people get so focused on on this that they lose track of being balanced.
Which is why this workshop is on having a healthy body, mind, and spirit. We always appreciate it when we go over to someone's house and say, do you have any food sensitivities? Because those things will hurt us. But if we were invited to someone's home and they didn't ask and they put something before us, you know, it's a decision. But it's one of those 1 Corinthians 8, Romans 14 things where you don't ask questions about the food that comes to you from the marketplace. If it's a real health issue, you should. If it's a sensitivity, that's a judgment call. But you're right. Some people, this becomes a religion in the U.S.
Yeah,
about being foodies. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, in the kingdom, we can also be really cavalier in general and, you know, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit. I can go ahead and drink 4 Cokes a day, right? So, in fact, I do better with the Holy Spirit when I have 4 Cokes a day. So, one of the things we are trying to help disciples get to is that notion of balance, of having a healthy body, mind, and spirit, and not be so obsessed. Some brothers get obsessed with exercise, don't care about their eating. Mm. Some disciples are very diligent with a healthy diet and exercising, but really neglect their spirit, and that atrophies. So, in all these things, even though Bev's kicking it off, we're spending half of it on diet because in America, it's a serious issue. We looked at the numbers. In some areas, you're right behind us. In some areas, you're ahead of us.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why we take the time we do to spend on this. Another question back there?
I've got 3 questions for you. First question is, the intermittent diet, I guess it's a lifestyle, right? It's not something you do for a period of time. And the second question is, can you just repeat the ratio, water ratio, you say divide your body weight, something like that?
How much water to drink in proportion to your body weight?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And
in ounces, and then you'll have to translate that to deciliters.
That, yeah, we don't have that conversion.
Okay. But it's your body weight divided by 2 is the number of ounces.
Yeah.
And then just multiply that by deciliters over ounces coefficient, and you get that number in deciliters.
Okay, we have it here. Okay, so is that 1 liter?
1 ounce is...
But then again, we're doing body weight. If you weigh 100 kilograms, so yes, I'm talking to the brothers, you need to drink 3.2 liters of water per day. 3.2 liters of water.
100 kilograms seems like a lot, too.
50 kilos, talking to the sisters, half that, 1.6 liters. 75 kilos, you can figure it out. You know, it's 2.4. Oh, I noticed. These are all 10 times 2 to the n, and it's an integer.